Today's daf is Chulin daf Kuf Chaf. We are holding on daf Kuf Yutes Amid Beis. We just started the wide lines on daf Kuf Yutes Amid Beis. Let's just get us back into the discussion. We had a machlokas tanoim. If you have two bones, each of which, of a dead body, each of which have chatzi zayis of basar attached to it, and the bones, not the basar, but the bones, the other end of the bones, are underneath an ohel, so is the entire, they're inside a bayis, is the entire bayis tameh. So there's machlokas tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda ben Nakusa. So the tanakama says that the bayis is tameh. Rabbi Yehuda ben Nakusa says, no, how could shnei atzamos be mitzarif with each other for a kazayis? So we had a machlokas amoraim on that machlokas tanaim, and that machlokas amoraim is going to be our focus for a little while now. So Rish Lakish says that's only lo shanu ala etzem da havayad avonima lo aviyad. The whole discussion is only whether a bone is considered a yad. Is whether a bone is going to transmit the tumah to the house, because we know a bone is considered a yad, but a piece of hair alone is not considered a yad. And Rabbi Yochanan says hair also could be a yad. So that's the machlokas Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Is hair a yad also? We know that a bone is a yad. Is hair a yad also? So we had yesterday, we'll read it again from the first wide line. Eser Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. So Rabbi Yochanan says that hair is a yad, asks on Rish Lakish, Arsh Yishlov Gazai's Basar Nogea Betziva Yotzi Menu Ubisa'ara Shekenegdo Tameh. That if you touch the hair, you are Tameh. My love Mishum Yad, isn't it? Because the hair is functioning as Yad, which is Machnus Umotzi, the Tumah. So says Rish Lakish, no, lo Mishum Shomer. Over there, the hair is considered a Shomer if it actually serves to protect. But as a Yad, it would never be considered a Yad. So Frekli Gmar Amika Shomer Agabe Shomer. But can hair possibly be a Shomer? Hair is on top of skin. Skin itself is a shomer. Can you have a shomer on top of a shomer? We said yesterday that you cannot have a shomer on top of a shomer. We had a chakira why that should be so, either because by definition a shomer has to be that which is closest to the item itself, or that shomer means that it protects the item, and a shomer al gabi shomer really just protects the shomer. But whatever it is, you can't have a shomer al gabi shomer. That a hair is not considered shomer al gabi shomer because the hair penetrates beneath the surface of the skin; it goes straight to the basar. So it's actually considered to be directly related to the skin, to the basar, and therefore it's a shomer of the basar itself. But bottom line is that's when hair serves as a shomer. But Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish still disagree. When hair isn't a shomer, can it at least serve as a yad? So the Gemara is going to have three versions of the ensuing discussion. Version number one, Mask v'ravach bar Yaakov, elameyata, if that's the case, tefillin hechi kasvinan, habim ksivatam avaleka, if hair is considered to be mechalchel, that it goes all the way down, so how can you say that hair, how could you ever write tefillin? There are holes in the tefillin, and you need ksivatama, you need the writing to be complete, because the hair makes these holes in the basar that go all the way down. So ishtamite hadam ribimarava kol nekev shadiyo over alaveinu nekev. No, so you forgot that the answer to that is obvious, that in terms of tefillin, the halacha is, anytime you can write with ink on top of it, if the holes are so tiny that it doesn't break up the letter at all, that the writing is perfect, so then it's not going to be considered a nekev in regards to tefillin. So this idea of ksivatama, Rashi writes, ksivatama means that the ksiva needs to be tama v'lo psuka, because the pasuk says uksavtem. Uksavtem means that you need ksivatama. So if Chaim Moser writes in Achiezer, according to this, it's dafka by tefillin and mezuzos, where there's a din of ksivatama. But by get, you wouldn't have such a din. There wouldn't be such a din that the letters can't be broken up by holes in the parchment. But Chaim Moser brings that there was a chacham echad that pointed out to him that maybe when Rashi writes that the limud is from ksavtem, maybe that's only according to the havamina, that even if the diyo passes over it, that it's going to be possible. Even if you could write a perfect letter on top of it, that it's going to be possible. Then you would have to learn from uksavtem. But lemaskana, where the Gemara assumes that only if it's ena diyo over a love that it's going to be tameh, so maybe you could say that the psul is because ena diyo over a love, it ruins the tzura sa'os, not ksivatama, not uksavtem. Maybe it's a din in the tzura sa'os. But anyway, Rav Chaim Moser doesn't buy it. He proves from the Mabit, where it's beferish in the Mabit, that even the maskan, the psul is that is only when it's ein adio over a love, the makar is still going to be from uksavtem. So that's that's the discussion whether how broadly we apply this din. But either way, when it comes to to writing tefillin, the din of ksivatama, as long as the ink can write normally, it's still ksivatama. V'ibay say makule mishum yad, or maybe it's all the din in yad. Kedam Rabbi La b'milay shebin amlam machanam benima shebin animin. Meaning, we ask the question: what about the hair? How can you say hair is not a din of? It doesn't have a din of yad. What about the fact that we said that if you touch the hair, you become tamei? So we said, it's a din shomer and it's chulchul mechalchal. No, maybe it's not shomer. Maybe it's yad. But over there, it's different. We're dealing with chunks of hair. If you have a large amount of hair, then it could certainly serve as a yad. You could pick up something by the hair when it's a lot of hair. When it's a little bit of hair, you can't pick it up by the hair. But where was Rabbi Ullah's original statement? We said, where do we see that you have this idea that a large chunk of something, a large chunk of hair can be a yad? From just like Rabbi Ullah said, b'milai shebein amilayim, the bristle amongst the bristles. So what was the original context of Rabbi Ullah's statement? Aha, it was on the following. Milai shebishibolim mitamin umitamin vein mitstarfin. The bristles on the stalks of wheat are able to transmit tumah, to receive tumah, but they're not mitstarif to the shear, which means that they're yados, because the yad has that ability to be machnis, motzi, not mitstarif, right? A shomer is mitstarif also, but a yad, machnas motzi, not mitstarif. So malay and the maychazi, but what use do the bristles have? Some rabbi lo, b'malay shevin emalayim. Individually, nothing. But when you have a whole bunch of them together, then they can serve as a yad, just like the hair. So that's the original context of Rabbi Lo's statement. Lishna achrina, second version of this discussion, lishna achrina amrila, hachinami mistavra, demishum shomer. That no, it's most logical to say that we're dealing with a shomer. If you say the hair is a din of yad, nima achas maychazi. What do you mean it's midin yad? What could one strand of hair do? If you lift something up by one strand of hair, the hair will snap and that's it. You didn't move anything. So again, we use Rabbi Lai as the precedent that just like Rabbi Lai says Malay Shabin Amlaim, so over here also, if it's not just a hair, but it's many hairs, that's why it could serve as yad. Where do we have Rabbi Lai's statement? So again, we repeat the whole thing. That's the original context of Rabbi Lai. What was the difference between the first lashon and the second lashon? So if you look at Rashi, four lines before the end of the page, lishna achrina amrila, man detani hach lishna savar de benimin harbe amar reish lakish nami de lo have a yad. The one who says the second lashon holds that when we had that machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, whether hair is a yad, where Reish Lakish says it's not, Rabbi Yochanan says it is, so the first lashon would say that even Reish Lakish would be moda, even Reish Lakish who holds hair is not a yad, would be moda that many hairs is a yad. This lashon, the second lashon, would say that Reish Lakish would still maintain hair is not a yad even when it's many hairs. The one who's saying that hair is a yad when it's many hairs is Rabbi Yochanan, but Reish Lakish would still maintain it's not a yad. And when we ask a Reish Lakish, what about the fact that we said in the Mishnah that Sa'ara is able to transmit the Tumah? He says, no, it's only because of Shomer. It's all a din of Shomer, but not a din in yad. That's the difference between the first lashon and the second lashon. The Ika Damasna, the third lashon, is as follows. The Ika Damasni La Amasnisin. Some have that the whole discussion really begins with our Mishnah, where our Mishnah says, Ha'or Varota Vakipa V'chulei, the key is the V'chulei, it includes Atzamos, in the list are mitstarfin l'tami tumas ochlin, all combined to the shear necessary to be mitami tumas ochlin. So even the atzamos are mitstarif. Now, when you say mitstarif, we must mean that it's a shomer, that it's not just a yad, because a yad is not mitstarif. The shomer is mitstarif. So I'm Reish Lakish, and that's where Reish Lakish discusses lo shanu ela etzem davi shomer aval nima lo avia shomer. Reish Lakish says hair can be bones can be a shomer, but a hair cannot even be a shomer. Rabbi Yochanan Mar Filu Nima Nami Avia Shomer. Rabbi Yochanan says yes, hair can be a shomer. So whereas in the first two versions of the discussion, the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish was whether hair can be a yad, everyone agreed it could be a shomer. It was just a question of shomer al gavi shomer, and we solved that problem by chilchulim mechalchel. The whole machlokas was whether hair can be a yad, and the difference between the first version and the second version was how far Reish Lakish goes in his opinion that it cannot be a yad. Is it only a single hair that cannot be a yad, or even clumps of hair that cannot be a yad? In this version, they're not arguing about whether it can be a yad. They're arguing about whether hair can even be a shomer. So Amalei Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. So Reish Lakish says Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish, who holds that hair cannot be a shomer, says Rabbi Yochanan. Umi ika shomer al gabe shomer. How could hair be a shomer? It's not a shomer, it's a shomer al gabe shomer. It's on top of the skin. The skin itself is the first level shomer. So chulchuli mechalchel, the answer is no. It penetrates all the way down beneath the surface of the skin. So it is directly in contact with the basar. Maska ravacha, lemeata tefillin, echi kasvin, abin, ksiva tam of aleka, same kasha. What do you mean? If it's chulchuli mechalchel, how do you ever write tefillin on the skin? You need ksiva tama. Ishtamite adam bimarava kol nekev shadi over alavinu nekev. Forgot that any time the ink writes over it smoothly, that's not considered a nekev legave tefillin, and that's going to be perfectly fine. Eisve Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan asks on Reish Lakish, or sheish lov gzayis pasar negev tzivah yotziv menu besar shek negev tamei me'elav mishum shomer. Again, bringing the same Mishnah where it says that if you touch the hair, the tumah is transmitted. Why is the tumah transmitted? Isn't it because of shomer? So don't you see that hair is a shomer? Kasha on Reish Lakish in this version holds that hair is not a shomer. So he says, lo, mishum yad. Reish Lakish would respond, it's not midin shomer that the tumah is being transmitted. It's midin yad. And even Reish Lakish is moda that hair has a din of yad. So frak the Gemara, nima achas maichazia. What do you mean? Hair has a din of yad? What is one strand of hair going to be able to do in terms of yad? You try to move it and the strand is going to snap. So kadam rabbi loy bimili shabinim loy machnaim b'nima shabinim nimin. No, we're not talking about one strand of hair, we're talking about a whole bunch of hair. Just like rabbi loy bimili shabinim loy. Ve'echid met rabbi loy, where did rabbi loy ever say that? Ahad etran, nemili shabashibolim mitamim mitamim ve'mitzarfin mili maichazia. What's the bristle going to accomplish on these stalks? When it's a whole cluster of bristles. Fine. The same discussion over and over again in terms of the back and forth, but the yesod of the three lashonos is completely different. Right? The third lashon, certainly the whole yesod of the discussion is that machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is about an entirely different topic than we had in the first two lashonos. This whole idea of ksivatam is interesting. There is a discussion in Maseches Shabbos. There's a Gemara Maseches Shabbos and Dafayin Tesam Beis where the Rishonim aren't sure how to interpret it. The Gemara quotes a Brisa that there's a Lach L'Moshe Misina that Tefillin is written on Klaf, Mezuzah is written on Duchsustus. Klaf is the Makom HaBasar. Duchsustus is the Makom HaSeyar, is the place of the hair, meaning two different sides of the hide of the animal. The side that's closer to the basar, the side that's closer to the hair, to the outside of the body. So Tosfos over there says that the discussion is when they cut the hide of the animal in half, but in along the meaning it's a thick hide, they cut it in half to thin it out. So you actually end up with like two pieces of paper. It's like cutting a piece of paper along the width of the paper, where you end up with two pieces of cloth. So the chelek hapnimi is the duchsustus, the chelek hachitzon is the cloth, meaning the piece of cloth you have that was closer to the animal's body is the duchsustus, the one that's closer to the outside is the cloth. So when the Brisa says that the klaf is b'makom basar, it means that the inner part of the outer klaf. So that's the tzad that's karov to the basar. Duchsustus b'makom seir means the outer part of the inner klaf. which is more toward the Tzad HaSeyar. But the Ran disagrees. The Ran holds the Hepech. The Ran says the Klaf is the Chelek HaPnimi, Duchsustus is the Chelek HaChitzon. And when it says Klaf B'Makom Basar, Duchsustus Makom Seir, it means that by Klaf they write on the inner part that's closer to the Basar Mamish. Duchsustus they write on the outer part which is closer to the Seir. So with that background, with that Machlokas, if you say like Tosus that Tefillin is written on the Chelek HaChitzoni, on the outer part, so you understand why the Gemara asks Dafka about Tefillin. How could you write Tefillin? Tefillin is written on the outer part, which has all the holes from the hair, because mezuzah is written on a much smoother part. It's written on the chelek hapanimi. It's written on the inner part, so that's not going to be as much of a kasha. So that's why we dafka ask by Tefillin. But according to the Ran, that Tefillin is written on the chelek hapanimi. So then, why you have to wonder why the Gemara dafka asks about Tefillin? How do we write Tefillin? It's a bigger kasha. How do we write mezuzah? Why does the Gemara dafka pick on Tefillin? So the Ran writes in the Chiddush Ran that you have to say that the Gemara means to say that even Tefillin is a kasha, Eich Kosum. There's still little bits of holes by the cloth of Tefillin also, but Kal v'chomer, the kasha would apply for mezuzahs as well. But that relates to that sugya Masech Shabbos. Okay, Vayter, says the Gemara Vayter, we're at the two dots now. Vaharotav. So he said Rotav is also mitstarif to the shear for Tumas Ochlin. My Rotav, what is Rotav? So Amar Rava Shumna, it's the fats. Amar Le Abai, who atzma yitma Tumas Ochlin? What do you mean it's mitstarif to Tumas Ochlin? It's edible. It's shuman is an edible fat. There's nothing, so that is Ochel. So what does it mean it's mitstarif Tumas Ochlin? El Chelev de Karish. No, it means the moisture that comes out of the meat. It's not the actual ochel itself, it's some type of fatty moisture that comes out of the meat. So the karish that's congealed. So mayiri the karish, kilo karish nami, why do you need it to be congealed in order for it to be mitzarif? Even if it's not congealed, it should be mitzarif. After all, damrei shlakish, tzir sha'al gabe yarak mitzarif, l'kikosevis b'yom ha-kipurim. If you have this moisture that comes out of vegetables, that's mitzarif to the shira of kosevus and Yom Kippurim. It doesn't say anything about it being congealed. It doesn't need to be congealed. It's still mitzarif to the shira kosevus and Yom Kippurim. Why should it be any different over here when it comes to the halachos of tuma? Says the Gemara, no, there's a big difference between the halachos of tuma and the halacha of chilu b'Yom Kippurim. Hasam yishum yisu v'daitu b'koldu miyas v'daite. The yisod of the din on Yom Kippur is a din of inui, that you have a mitzvahs inoy in Yom Kippurim. So anything that takes away one's affliction is going to be mitzarif to the shear on Yom Kippur. So in its liquid state, this fatty stuff that comes out of this fatty liquid that comes out of the food in its liquid state, it does serve to fill you up. It's miyasev daite and therefore removes your inoy. So it's going to be mitzarif to the shear when it comes to Yom HaKippurim. But hachum mishum mitzarufehu. But over here we're talking about a shear of ochlin. Is it considered ochel? Ikarish mitzarif, ilo karish lo mitzarif. By tuma, it's only going to be that if it's congealed, it's going to be mitzarif. But if it's not congealed, it's not going to be mitzarif. Fine, that is the chilek. Now the Rambam, when he quotes this Mishnah lahalacha, writes that or hamachubel lebasar va'amarak va'tavlin, and he doesn't say anything when he says marak. Doesn't say anything about it being congealed. Doesn't say anything about karush. He just says marak. He doesn't say that it's rotav karush or anything like that. So Kesef Mishnah says he has no idea why the Rambam would leave out such a comment of the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't have any machlokas about it. The Gemara has a discussion, but it concludes very clearly that it needs to be karush in order for it to work. So he has no idea why the Rambam would leave it out. So the Maaser Rokeach, he's metarits that the Rambam holds that there's no din that it has to actually be congealed. It has to be ro'i to be congealed. The fact that it's ro'i to be congealed makes it an ochel, and it's the fact that it's the derech to eat it while it's congealed makes it be mitzarif to the basar. And the Maaser Rokeach says it sounds that way from Rashi on the Mishnah as well, because Rashi on the Mishnah has such a lashon, sharotav mitzarif lufi shahaderech la'ochlo karush, because it's the derech to eat it congealed. So this requirement of it being congealed is not a requirement of it being congealed, it's a requirement of it being able to congeal. That if it's something that's able to congeal, and that's the normal way to eat it, so mele it's always going to be mitzarif, even if it's not congealed. If it's not congealed, it's still going to be mitzarif. Good. So says the Gemara Vayter. Actually, just one more thing. Rashi writes that when it comes to Tuma, Ochlim and Mashkim are not Mitztarif because they don't have the same shear when it comes to Tuma. Right? So that's why Rashi says the din of congealing is important over here. In order for it to be Mitztarif to Ochel, Gabe Tuma, it has to be an Ochel. It has to be a solid because the Ochlim and Mashkim have different shearim, so that's why they're not going to be Mitztarif. So it sounds from Rashi that Mashke can be Mekabel Tuma. Even if it can't be Mitztarif with an Ochel, on its own shear, with its own amount, it can be Mekabel Tuma. That's actually not so pashut, that a Stam Mashke can be Mekabel Tuma. The Zion Mashkim, for sure, can be Mekabel Tuma. The Zion Mashkim that can be Machshel Mekabel Tuma can be Mekabel Tuma themselves as well. But what about other Mashkim, just other liquids? Can liquids Stam? Can they become Tame? So this is a Machlokas Rambam and the Ravid in Hilchas Tumas Ochlim, Parak Aleph Halacha Dalet, where the Ravid holds that Shar Mashkim, even things that are not from the Shiva Mashkim, they do have the ability to be Mekabel Tuma. But the Rambam holds that no, Tuma is only reserved for the Shiva Mashkim alone, and the reason that when it's not Nikrash, it's not Mitztarif, it's much more Pashut, not because it's a different shear. You don't have to come into Rashi's fancy explanation that if it's not Nif, it's not congealed, it's not going to be Mitztarif to Tumas Ochlim, not because it's a different shear, it's just not Mekabel Tuma. If it's not congealed, it's a liquid. A liquid is not Mekabel Tuma. Okay, Vakipa. What is the Kipa? My Kipa, asks the Gemara. The Mishnah said that that's Mitztarif to the shear of Tumas Ochlim also. So what is it? Amarabba Pirma. It's the dregs on the bottom of the pot. So I'm like, Abaye, who ats me yitzma to myself? What do you mean? People love that stuff. They scrape the bottom of the pot. They eat it all the time. How can you say that that's mitzdarif? What do you mean mitzdarif? That's part of the, that's ochel. Elam Rav Papa, tavlin. So Rav Papa says, no, it must mean the spices. Tan hasam hikves hadam va'achlo. If a person takes dam and solidifies dam and eats it, o shehimches achelev gamo, or he liquefies chelev and he swallows it, chayev. He's going to be chayev for eating dam and for eating chelev. So bishlam hikves hadam va'achlo. I understand very well. If you congeal dam, if you solidify dam, and you eat it, kivan da akve achshuve achshuve. By solidifying it, you're making it into a solid, you're showing that it has chashivas to you, and therefore you're going to be chayiv for eating it. But wait a second, when you liquefy chaylev and you swallow it, why should you be chayiv? The isra of chaylev in the Torah is an isra of achilas chaylev. What sort of achila did you do? You drank it. So I'm Reish Lakish, I'm a Krah, Nefesh, L'Rabbos HaShosa. Nefesh teaches me that even if you're Shosa chaylev, you're going to be chayiv. A special pasuk dafka to teach that by chaylev, even if you drink it, you're going to be chayiv, even though the lashon of the Torah is a lashon of achila. Now, when we say that you're hikves hadam, that you congeal the dam and eat it, you're going to be chayiv. So, how do you congeal the dam? So, Rashi says hikve hikrisha al gabe or. Use fire. You burn it. You heat it up. You cook it, and that way it congeals. Says Tosus that can't be. Tosus writes hikvu bechama mayri kideparshinu ba'akomitz rabba avol ba'or lo the dam shabishlo in over love. Tosus it can't be that you use fire because if you use fire then it's cooked dam and Allah is cooked dam is not asa midaraisa. Midaraisa only dam that's uncooked is going to be aser. Tosus says Rashi obviously assumes that even cooked dam. Is asami daraisa. Fascinating though that cooked dam. This is a halacha we have in all halachas of bishul. Bishul bechama is not bishul midaraisa. I mean, it also says even if the chemically the dam is exactly the same, whether you cook it by fire, or you cook it by sun, it's exactly the same. You have this. You affected the exact same change in the dam on every level. Just one is al yidei or, and one is al yidei chama. Yeah, but still al yidei or, it's only going to be asami daraisa. It's going to be asami daraisa because the definition of bishul is bishul al yidei or. Bishul al yidei chama is not called bishul. The gabe bishul b'shabbos bishul akum. You have to discuss in all the halachas of bishul when we say that chama is not bishul and all the new kinds of bishul you have to figure out like microwaves. So that's what the poskim have to figure out. Which one is that more similar to? Is that real bishul? Is that fake bishul? Is that bishul b'chama? Is that bishul ba'ar? Good. So that's the comment of Tosos. Now Rashi obviously holds that again, like we said, that even if you're Vashel still aser midaraisa. The Rambam seems to assume that way as well. Lech Mishnah, Machol Sasuros, Pergvav, Lech Vav assumes that the Rambam holds that Dam Shabishlo, you're over love. Now, remember the other day we pointed out that the Ran proves that dam shebishlo is asa midaraisa against Tosfos from the Mishnah in Kalabasa, where it says chomer bechelev mi bedam, chomer bedam mi bechelev, and it doesn't list amongst the chumras of chelev that chelev is asa even if you're mevashel, even if you're mevashel the chelev, whereas dam is not asa from mevashel the chelev. So says the Ran, why is that missing from the list? Because it's wrong. It's not true. Dam, even if you're mevashel, it is asa midaraisa. So the Ran holds like Rashi against Tosfos. The Ran has a pretty strong raya against Tosfos. Okay, so number one we have in regards to chelev, nefesh l'rabu sasashosa, that even if you drink the chelev, you're going to be in violation of the iser. It's going to be a violation of the iser of achilas chelev. Says the Gemara Vayter, Tanya Nami, the first medium-sized line, and Kufcha v'mrav, Tanya Nami gabe chametz ki agavna. We have very similar braisa when it comes to chametz. Himcho v'gamo, if you liquefy chametz and you swallow it, im chametz hu anush kares, so if it's chametz, you get your chayv curries for eating chametz in such a way. And if you liquefy your matzah and eat it that way and drink it, so you're not going to be yotzei yuchiv on Pesach of achilas matzah. So bishlam im matzuein adam yotzei dechavas on Pesach lechemoni am rachman of ahilav lechemoni hu. I understand very well by matzah it's supposed to be lechemoni. It's not lechemoni if it's liquefied. Why isn't it lechemoni if it's liquefied? So you could have said a few ways. Number one, you could say it's not lechem. It's not lechem if it's liquefied. Lechem, by definition, is not liquefied. But also, it's not oni. The oni might be the difficulty in the digestion, that it's hard to chew, it's hard to swallow, it's hard to digest. But if it's in a liquefied form, so the difficulty in digestion doesn't exist, and mele, it's not lechem oni. So, the whole point of lechem oni is that it lasts a long time. That the reason it's a poor person would eat it is because it's something that lasts along the small amount of food that will last a long time. When it's liquefied, it won't be lechemoni. So I understand very well by matzah, you're not going to be yotzei yuchiv on Pesach, it's not lechemoni. Elim chametz uvanish kares achilak siva bay. But why should you be chayiv kares if it's chametz? Chametz, there's an issur of achilas chametz. Whoever said anything about drinking chametz? So why should you be chayiv for you said anush kares? You're chayiv kares if it's chametz. Samrei shlagish amakram. Nefesh l'rabbis is a shosa. So that's the second nefesh l'rabbis is a shosa. We have it by nevela. We have it by chelev, and we have it by chametz, and now by nevela as well. V'tanyanami gabi nevela sof tar ki agavna. And we have another braisa also in connection to nevela sof tar that is the same limud. Himcho ba'or tame bechama tahar. If you liquefy it in the sun, then it's going to be tame. But in the fire, it's going to be tame. But in the sun, it's going to be tahar. And we said, well, why should it be tame when it's imcho ba'or? It's not achila. Whatever happened to achila ksiv bay? If it's liquefied, so it's not achila. So Reish Lakish Amakra nefesh l'rabu sasa shosa. Again, nefesh comes l'rabu sasa esa shosa. So frankly, Mari. Well, then, even if you liquefy it in the sun, it should be it should still be tamei because it's the rabbis hashosa. So it says, "No, bechamis ruche misrach." It becomes putrefied in the sun. If you liquefy it in the sun, it's going to be a different process and it's going to ruin it. So that's why it's not going to be included. But bottom line, at the end of the day, we have three different times a drasha of nefesh to tell me that shosa is included, even though the Torah says something in the lashon of achila. We have it by chelev, we have it by chametz, and we have it by nevela sof. So those three different times where the word nefesh is used. Tosfos asks, why do I need a pasuk to be mar b'shosa shtiyos b'chlal achila? The Gemara says in Masech Shavuos that shtiyos b'chlal achila. So I need a pasuk. Tell me, let's say by chelev where the yisra is b'lashon achila. I need to tell me shtiyah, another nefesh. Tell me shtiyah. Shtiyah is included in achila. Tosfos says no. Shtiyos b'chlal achila. Is achil b'chal shtia is something that it itself is a shtia, like yayin v'shemen. When you drink something that is a drink, that's considered just like achila. But chelev is an ochel, be'etzem it's a food. So drinking that which is a food is not b'chal achila. That you need a ribui, that you need a nefesh to come and tell me. That's how Tosfos over here is mitarit. Tosfos in Nida's mitarit, it's a little different. And it seems that there's a fundamental machlokes between the two Tosfos. Tosfos in Nida's mitarit that without the limud of nefesh, l'rabos ha'shosa, we would have thought that chelev mehutach is not called chelev at all. That chelev that's liquefied isn't called chelev. Hanefesh comes to tell me that it is called chelev. So l'chora, they're arguing about very pashtut hakira. What is nefesh coming to teach me? Either you could say that without the riboy, we would have thought that if you liquefy chaylev, you're not chayev on it because it's not chaylev at all, because chaylev by definition is only solid chaylev. Or you could have said, no, we knew the whole time that chaylev that's liquefied is called chaylev. It's a question your maisa achila. Is it called the maisa of achilas chaylev when you have chaylev in that way? So that's the machlokas between the two tosos. Tosos over here hold that chaylev, even when it's liquefied, is pashut that it's called chaylev. Tosos need the help. No, that's exactly what nefesh is coming to teach me. So there is a tshuva in the Chacham Tzvi at the end of Siman Chav where he asks, why do I need a pasuk l'rabos hashosa? We should ask shtias chaylev because it's no sin tam into the chaylev and tam kikers daraisa. So it's at least no same tam, right? So which tam kikur daraisa should tell me that shtias chelev is asur. So he says, no, the havamina was that the whole reason that the Torah asurs tam iser is ki ilu, it's the ikur iser. That's only when it's no same tam of ochel into ochel. But an ochel that's no same tam into a mashke maybe wouldn't have a din of an asinas tam. But the whole kash of the Chacham Tzvi is only according to Tosos here. According to Tosos and Nida, the havamina was that chelev etz nimoach is not chelev at all. So what do you mean no same tam? The chelev is at least no same tam because he's at least experiencing the tam of the chelev. No, he's not. He's experiencing tam of a liquefied chelev. Liquefied chelev isn't chelev at all. So the whole kasha of the Chacham Tzvi only gets off the ground if you assume like Tosos over here and against Tosos in Maseches Nida. Okay, back in the Gemara. So we have these three times where it says a nefesh l'rabos that even if you drink it, but we have it by chelev, by chametz and by nevelos. Why do I need all three limudim? Utsrichi. Because Rachman chelev chametz lasiminei. Had it only said it by chelev, that liquefied chelev is a violation of the Yisra, I would not have known the same is true by chametz. Shkein lo haisel lo shas hakosher. Because chaylev never had a shasa kosher. Chametz used to be kosher, so the two aren't comparable. Nevela lo asiminesh kenen ushkares, and nevela can't be learned from it because it's ushkares. Because Rachman chametz had the Torah only said it by chametz, chaylev lo asiminesh would not have been able to derive chaylev from it. Shiken lo hutar michlalo, because there are no exceptions to the isra of chametz. There are plenty of exceptions to the isra of chaylev. Unevela lo asiminesh kenen ushkares, and couldn't have learned nevela from it because of the onus of kares. Because Rachman have been nevela, and had the Torah only written it in regards to nevela, that liquefied nevela is a violation. Hanach lo asu mina shekein metama. So you can't learn the others. You can't learn chametz and chela from it because nevela has a unique element in that it's metame. Nevela is tumas nevela also, not just nisra chila. So that's why you couldn't have learned the others from one. So chadam echad alasya tesi chadam itarti. So you can't learn one from one. But why couldn't we learn one from two? So hey tesi, how do you want to learn it? Lo lichla rachmana ben nevela v'tesi mehanach. You wanted to not say by nevela and learn from chametz and chelev. Well malahanach shkein anushkares. What about the fact that there's anushkares? So lo lichla rachmana bechametz v'tesi. You wanted to leave out chametz to learn from the others. Malahanach shkein lo haisel and shasa kosher. Chametz had a shasa kosher. The other two never had a shasa kosher. Lo lichta rachmana bechelev v'teisim mehanach. You wanted to leave out chelev and learn from the others. Malahanach shkein lo hutar michlalo and tamar chelev shutar michlalo. Chelev is mutter in different contexts. The others are never mutter. Umaynihu, what are these different contexts that chelev is mutter in? Ilei mechelev behem legvoa. You can tell me, well, the chelev of a behema can be used as part of a karban. Nevelanami shorei melika of legvoa. Right, the nevela also sometimes is mutter as part of a carbon because you do malik on an oaf that makes an animal a nevela normally, and still it's used as a carbon. The ela chelev chaya lehedyot. No, maybe what makes chelev unique is that chelev chaya is mutter for anybody because there's no iser of chelev on a chaya. Well, nevela nami shtorei malika dechatosov lekohanim. Nevela also is mutter for kohanim to eat. So the ela chelev chaya lehedyot kash lach kohanim. Now the chelev chaya lehedyot is where we find that it's uter michlalo. You said that kohanim can eat Nevela by oaf. Kohanim Shulchan Gavah Kazahu. That's different because Kohanim are getting it straight from the Shulchan Gavah. They're getting it straight from a Kodesh Baruch Hu's table. Vad Tanya had Tameim Lasar Tziron Virotvan V'Kipa Shalahen Lamali Ligmar Mehani. But wait a second, we have another Mishnah that tells us that Shratzim, because of an extra hay in the word Hat Tameim Shratzim, by Shratzim, we learn that even the
that even the liquids of the shratzim are included in the isra of tumas shratzim. So in the isra of achila shratzim, why don't we just learn it out from chelav chametz and nevela, that when it's liquefied, it's still considered a sheretz? Because by nevela and by chametz, when it's liquefied, it's still considered chelav, nevela, and chametz. So why don't we just learn it from there? So tzricha dilo kas rachman havamina dayel abamin adin lios kanido. And if I would learn it from there, I would think it's that shratzim are subject to the same limitations as chelev, chametz, and nevela. Mahasam adika kezayis afachanami adika kezayis. In all those cases, they're isurei achila. So you need a kezayis in order to be in violation, for liquefied form of it to be a violation. But by shratzim, I would think, therefore, it's only going to, the isra achila would only be bekezayis. But the halacha by shratzim is that the isra achila is bekaadasha. It's even in less than a kezayis. So v'luchta rachmanu b'shratzim leisim hanuch v'ligmaru minayu. So why doesn't the Torah just say it by shratzim? And I'll learn kal v'chomer, that if by shratzim it's true, then for sure by the others it's true, or binyanav rather, that if by shratzim it's true by the others as well, and you wouldn't have a problem of dayo, because shratzim is already asur b'kadasha. So says Gemara, no, mishum dika lemifrach, mala shratzim shekein tumasim b'mashahu. Now shratzim have their own chumra, because they're tumas b'mashahu. So you would not have learnt the others from shratzim. Vad tanya, so frak the Gemara, but wait a second, we have another brisa, hatevel, v'achadosh, v'ahegdish, v'ashvias, v'aklayim, Kulan mashkin yotzim and kamosan, all of those things, the liquids that come from them are just like them. Minalan, how do we know that that's true? Meaning, we know where we get it by shratzim, we know where we get it by chelev, we know where we get it by chametz, we know where we get it by nevela. We have psukim, nefesh, hanefesh, the hay by, right? But where do we get it from by all these other halachos that the liquids are just like them? So b'chitei meligmar mehanuch. So you'll say, well, learn it from the ones that we have psukim by. Well, malahanuch shkein isra b'me'elav havu. But they're all isra b'me. All of the things that we spoke about were isurim that come from themselves. So says Gemara, Teina Chaycha Disra Bameilav. So that would work for those items on this list, Tevel, Chadash, Hegdash, Shviz, Klaim, those items that are Isra Bameilav. But Hecha Delav Isra Bameilav Minalan. But what about those items on this list that are not Isra Bameilav, which Rashi says translates to Hegdash? Hegdash isn't an Isra that came on its own, it's an Isra that you created by being makdish. The rest of them are just a metzius of what they are. Shavius is Shavius. I mean, that grew in the seventh year. Shavius, right? Everything else, chadash is chadash. Tevel is but hegdish is isra bamei elav. So where are we gonna know that a liquefied version of hegdish is like hegdish? Says Gemara, "Gamrin be bikurim." We learn from bikurim. Well, bikurim gufay min alan. How do I know that's true by bikurim? The Tan Rabbi Yossi pri. It says pri, which teaches us you bring a fruit, you don't bring a mashke. How do I know that if you bring grapes and you crush them, that that's also okay? Tamalomar tavi, that tavi is a reboy to tell me that you could even bring it in liquefied form. So ikal mifrach, no, but one could ask mal bikurim shkein to unin kriya v'hanacha. Bikurim has its own chumra. You have to do kriyas parshas bikurim. You have to do hanachas bikurim in the basket. You don't have that by hegdish. Elo gamra mitruma. So rather, where we know hegdish from, we learn it from truma. Utruma gufa minolan. How do I know by truma that the liquefied version is like it? Deiskush l'bikurim, because it's compared to bikurim. Damar mar utruma siyadcha elu bikurim. Truma siyadcha comes to include bikurim. Malu truma shekin chayv l'misav chomish. But says no. It says gamar, you can't learn from truma because truma has its own chumras. Truma yichayv misav chomish. So how could you use truma as the prototype? Elo gamar mitravayhu. So rather, we learned it from the combination of the two of them, mitruma ubikurim, from truma and bikurim. Again, hegdish. How do I know hegdish? The liquefied version of hegdish is like hegdish. So from the combination of truma and bikurim. How so? Mal truma bikurim shkein chayav la misa v'chomesh. But wait a second, truma and bikurim have a chumra that hegdish doesn't, namely misa v'chomesh. Ela asya mitruma v'chad mehanach o mibikurim v'chad mehanach. So what you have to say is that it's the combination of either truma or bikurim and chametz or nevela. That it's truma or bikurim combined with chametz or nevela. Because then when you're going to ask and you're going to say, no, truma has misa v'chomesh, so you'll say, well, nevela doesn't. So you see that you can learn from the nevela. Nevela is nisra b'me'elav. Truma is not a Nisra Bameilov. So you could therefore Chazar Adin, you could say it's Tzad HaShava between, let's say, Truma and Nevela, and learn out that Hegdish, which is not a Nisra Bameilov and doesn't have Misa V'Chomesh, is going to be, the liquid is going to be like it. Vaditran Devash Tamar V'Yein Tapuchim V'Chometz Tvanios V'Sharmi Nepeir Shal Truma Reb Lazar Mechayev Karim V'Chomesh Reb Shur Poter B'Mai Pligi. There is a Machlokas Tanayim when you have honey of Tamarim and Yayin of Tapuchim that comes, meaning apple cider and vinegar of Truma. So Reb Lazar says Yechayev Karim V'Chomesh, meaning liquid forms of Truma. Reb Lazar says Yechayev Karim V'Chomesh. Rabbi Shua says you're pot from Karen V'Chomesh. What are they arguing about when they say one says you're chayiv Karen V'Chomesh, the other one says you're pot from Karen V'Chomesh? So we'll do the short version today. Tomorrow we'll get into details. B'don mino mino, b'don mino v'uki ba'asra k'miflgi. That it's a machlokas whether don mino mino or don mino v'uki ba'asra. When I learn a halacha of truma, let's say, from a halacha of, I'm sorry, when I learn a halacha of hegdish, from a halacha of truma, or a halacha of truma, let's say, from a halacha of bikurim, let's go that way, a halacha of truma from a halacha of bikurim, do I take all of the details of bikurim and apply it to that halacha, or do I say, no, I learn in a general sense from bikurim to truma, but once I learn it, it follows the general truma rules when I'm learning it to truma? That is going to be the nekudas hamachlokas in between Rav Lazar and Rav Yeshua, which we'll pick up with tomorrow, Be'ezras Hashem.